have tuned in to Talon Mark's Campus News Hour on WPMD.org, Cerritos College Radio on the net, bringing essential student body information, news, sports, and the arts to the entire Cerritos College campus community. Here are your hosts, Campus News Hour Director Tito Benavides and Managing Multimedia Editor Lucia Sarabia.
Today is February 1st, 2012. Welcome to the third edition of Talon Mark's Campus News Hour for the spring semester, bringing you news and information campus-wide. I'm your host, Tito Benavides.
And I'm Lucia Sarabia.
Good morning, Falcons. In an effort to promote campus events and to bring cooperation between the various clubs here at Cerritos College, Falcons Spotlight is a new show at WPMD.org hosted by Jaime Flores, whose sole purpose is to bring club activity to life. Staff writer Martin Calderon finds out the details of this effort in this week's Campus News Hour feature.
WPMD's Broadcasting Club President Jaime Rob Flores announced that he will be hosting a new show called Falcon Spotlight, which is devoted to promoting the many clubs on campus. The show is scheduled to air Mondays at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Flores explains who is welcome on the show.
It could be a club member. It'll be always a different club member or a member of student government. I want to make sure the ASCC has a voice as well to reach out to students, because there are so many committees and stuff and people might not even realize them.
The show will serve as a networking platform between clubs and students like sociology major Wendy Guzman, who is also a member of the transfer club and listens to WPMD when on campus. Quote, "I believe that is a great idea to use the radio station to let other students be aware of the clubs where they can enjoy their hobbies and their school year." End quote. Flores is a representative for the Interclub Council, which is the governing body of all the clubs on campus. He hopes to use this resource to reach out to the members of other clubs and introduce them to this medium of communication. For clubs interested in being on the show, Flores suggests dropping off flyers.
If you have flyers, bring a couple and put them in our mailboxes, actually, because when you go in the lobby, there's a bunch of mailboxes here. So the more flyers you put in there, the more potential of multiple shows playing it.
Flores has high hopes on the first guest of his new show.
If I can, the very first edition, I hope, will be ASCC president herself, Jasmine Ramirez. So I definitely hope that I can have her as a guest for the very first edition, which will premiere next week on Monday at 9 a.m. And being a member of student government as well, I'll definitely try my best to promote WPMD. And we will definitely be the network platform for years to come.
WPMD is located in the Bernite Center. For Talon Mark's Campus News Hour, this is Martin Calderon reporting.
Celebrating Women's History Month, the Cerritos College is holding a campus-wide read promoting the amazing story of Henrietta Lacks and her thrust-upon contribution to the medical world. Staff writer Juan Lopez looks into this event and how students can participate.
Women's History Month is promoting a campus-wide read, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. The event is being held to inform students about Lacks, a woman whose cells have been used to fight diseases. Chair of the Economics and Women's Studies Department, Diane Keenan, speaks in depth about this very unique story.
It's a really interesting story of a woman in the 1950s in a very poor environment in the South who came down with cervical cancer. The doctors took a slice of her cells, and because of the chemistry of her cells, they replicated or duplicated very, very, very fast. And so science found a source of cells that could be duplicated by the thousands and millions that they could use in research. So her cells became known as HeLa cells. The family really didn't understand this at all, of what this meant. It was a poor black family, and it was never compensated in the past for the use of these cells, which led to breakthroughs in polio, all kinds of cancers, and so it really led to the biochemistry industry, which we know today. It's a dual kind of story. One is about the science of the cells, and at the same time, Rebecca Skloot lived with the family, met the family, wanted to tell the family story as well. They did not understand this idea that their mother's cells were immortal, that her cells actually helped to cure so much different types of diseases. And they didn't have medical care at the time. They were very, very poor. And the family was never compensated. So it's a dual story of both stories, one, the family, and then the science. So anybody that's in biology or chemistry, they're all working still today with HeLa cells. This is a story about race, it's about class, it's about gender, and it's about science as well. So for this Women's History Month, we wanted to have three discussion sessions for students that are reading the book, and we're promoting it in various classes of ours. And so students are reading it and then coming to the discussions in March to be able to talk about the book.
Rebecca Skloot is the author of the book that covers both the science and the life of the family. Professor Keenan explains how Lack's contribution to science has saved many lives and yet was not fully known by her own family.
Two instructors, myself and another instructor, Amy Holzgang in sociology, went to hear Rebecca Skloot talk at UCLA for part of a lecture series. And so we were there for 2 hours and she was answering questions about the book. So it was very informative about the author and the process that the author went through and her relationship with the family. And the sales of the book today go to scholarship funds for the children of Henrietta Lacks. So she's not only just a writer, but she's using the money to try to help the family out as well, which was really nice to hear.
Skloot lived with the family, met the family, and wanted to tell the family's story as well. The book is being read by students and faculty alike.
Well, I've sent out messages, and I'm going to send out another message to all faculty, all full-time and part-time faculty, trying to encourage them to, you know, suggest the book, either require it or suggest it. So a lot of the women's studies courses are doing that. We're doing it in my economics class because it's also about the biochemistry industry. And we're encouraging the science teachers to do that as well, to either assign it or assign it for extra credit, and to encourage them to attend the discussions in March. So we're basically asking faculty to do that. We have a special display as well in the college library of the book, and we have plenty of copies there. So we're trying to get the message out. We'll get some posters out about the discussion groups that are coming up in March.
Proceeds from the book will go to a scholarship fund for the family of Henrietta Lacks. There will be three discussions in March for students who are reading the book. The exact dates of the discussions have yet to be announced. For Talon Marks Campus NewsHour, I'm staff writer Juan Lopez reporting.
This week's Campus NewsHour movie review aims its sights on Man on a Ledge. Staff writer John Gonzalez shows no mercy giving his honest evaluation of this film.
Hi, my name is John Gonzalez, and this is the Talon Marks Campus NewsHour movie review. Man on a Ledge is a thriller that keeps you in your seat at all times because it has no thrill or nail-biting scenes. Sam Worthington and Elizabeth Banks star in a film where intense scares and reactions are intended, but not at all part of the audience's reaction. The movie has so many scenes that leave the viewer confused and guessing how it happened. For starters, the movie has so many holes in the plot which makes it really hard to believe and want to follow. Thrillers are supposed to keep the audience on the edge of their seat and keep their hearts beating, but this movie does neither of those things. This film has everything a good thriller should have, including prison escapes, fights, and heists, but they don't fall into place to keep the audience entertained. This movie has two plots that go well with each other, but are not very good, because the pieces do not add up. The only upside to this movie is the role played by actor Ed Harris, who plays an evil multi-billionaire who puts Nick Cassidy, Sam Worthington's character, in jail. Harris's role is something out of a Clint Eastwood movie that says, "I don't care, just get the job done." The plot of the movie takes a while to unravel, and once it does, the movie is almost two-thirds of the way done. The ending is a bit cheesy and leaves the audience wondering, how could you fall from a height like that onto a cushioned surface and not be somewhat hurt or shaken up, and to top it off, beat the bad guy along the way. This movie is not worth the amount charged at the movie theaters. It would be better to wait and see it on television when it comes out. That way you can change it once you've decided the movie has gotten too boring or lame, and you save yourself some extra cash. For Talon Marks Campus NewsHour, I'm staff writer John Gonzalez, reporting.
This is Talon Marks Campus NewsHour on WPMD.org. Cerritos College, Norwalk, California, and we have a very special guest today on Campus NewsHour.
Yes, we do.
And who would that be?
Casey Petrowski.
Casey Petrowski. Hello, Casey, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. Good
no
to be
problem.
Here.
No problem at all. I think it's really important that we have you as a guest, actually, because you are in charge basically here on WPMD. If anybody wants to know anything that's going on over here, they contact you or Dennis, but, you know, you're here most of the time. So Casey is your connection, and he's your go-to person here at WPMD.
Yes.
And basically, we want to know exactly what you see, you know, as a potential vision that might happen here on WPMD. What would you like the students to participate in?
If I could really, dream, what I'd love to see is I'd love for the radio station eventually to be more than an online station, to be a a real free radiating, a broadcast station. Even though more and more people are listening to radio online, I listen to radio online all the time. I don't listen to a lot of radio out of a radio. I listen to it out of a computer now. I still think that a small station can really serve a community. And even though we're in a big city and we've got 100 radio stations in Los Angeles, people can't turn on the radio and find out what's happening in Norwalk and be spoken to by neighbors, basically, by people who live in their community, that like we do here. So I would love to see that we at some point get money enough at the school to and the will to go out and get a license for a low power AM or a low power FM station, 10 watts, mm-hmm. something like that, just to cover the basic vicinity of the area, which is redundant.
That is a very good idea. I mean, people, we have, even though we're a small town over here, or a cluster of small towns, we have the major arteries of the freeways coming through here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Everything meets and comes through here
right.
to go, in order to go to Los Angeles, in order to go to the beach communities, in order to go to Orange County. You really have to cross this way. And we have a lot of people that go through here. And now that's why I believe Cerritos has flourished and all the surrounding cities have. Because, we do have an influx of people, and we should be represented, actually, by our own FM station.
Well, but beyond that, I just think that what we do on the radio station is so good, and it's a crime that people in Los Angeles, in general, can't get to hear it, or at least part of the area we serve, that can't get to hear it on the radios. This is a radio station that I'm very proud of in terms of just the content of programming that we have here and the development of our air staff over the years continually. As good people go, good people come in, and they get better as they work on this station because of the opportunities we give them and the guidance, hopefully, we give them as well. And, for us to be ignored by the second biggest radio market in the country is a crime. And if people could actually hear us on the radio, even just driving up one of the freeways, as you say, that might be enough to have them say, well, geez, what is – okay, I can't get them beyond, Whittier, but they got a website. Maybe I'll start to listen to them online. Anything right. that could give us a greater presence in the community and the greater L.A. radio community in general is something I would really love to see happen.
Absolutely, because, basically we are – pretty much the citizenry and the children of the citizenry of these areas.
That's right.
And
we are literally the voice of Cerritos College.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's why we say that.
Now, there are, like you said, a lot of opportunities for students, and my co-host here has found one of these opportunities as well.
Yes.
Want to go ahead and elaborate on that?
Yeah, I actually applied for an internship at a prominent radio station, and I start Friday. So
congratulations.
I'm really excited. I can't
Great.
Wait to be there.
Great.
Yeah,
and you'll do well.
Can she announce the station?
Oh,
okay?
Sure. What the heck?
It's
Power 106.
Power 106.
I'll announce.
You are So she came in here. The first day on RTV 155, did you even imagine you would go this far with this?
It was one of my goals and dreams, obviously, but I didn't see myself. I feel like it happened soon, and I'm thankful just for even getting the opportunity to take the class, to be here, to have my own show, because I got my start here, obviously, and it's been amazing. I'm so thankful,
that
excited.
That didn't happen here 5, 6, 7 years ago. Now we're becoming, finally, a feeder to the industry in Los Angeles. We've got Mondo, who's on Power 106,
right.
who's our graduate, and then we've got a number of other people who have done internships and are working at stations, not many of them on the air.
Right.
But it's a process. It's
right.
fewer jobs, fewer owners in terms of corporate owners of radio stations, and they're consolidating staffs as much as they can and voice tracking and all that sort of thing. Not to get too technical for the listener, but there's just not as many opportunities to get on the air as there were when I was in college. And for you to be able to take this step to get closer to it, and you being the latest in what is becoming a pretty long line, speaks volumes about what we're doing here.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, in terms of hopefully we're imbuing the students who go to take the radio program and work on the radio station, work on WPMD. We're not only teaching them what to do and giving them the opportunity to be good and be bad.
Right.
Because you need that opportunity.
Right.
I had that opportunity in college. And by the time I was good, I was working at a 50,000-watt radio station that could be heard up and down the East Coast, 17 states
awesome.
And four nations. Those opportunities aren't aren't around. But and there are not a lot of even college radio stations that let you do what we let you do here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you can really develop an act. Plus, hopefully, we're imbuing you with some of the passion that I have, at least, for this business. How great it was and how great it's going to have to be again if it's going to survive. That's my ultimate feeling. Radio is not going to survive playing music and reading cards and playing commercials. They're just not going to do it. People are going to listen to streaming stations on the net, play the music on their iPods. No inane, nonsensical garbage from the disc jockeys. And I don't mean – I mean by that call letters, reading plugs for the next contest, little cards, more music, less talk, nonsense like that, slogans, cliches. You know,
there's absolutely an evolution happening in radio.
It hasn't happened yet, Tito, but it's going to have to happen because what's going to have to happen is – I was talking about this with a friend who's a businessman but not in radio. And he grew up listening to the same kind of radio I did, where the entertainers, where the jocks were the entertainers and the music was the fill, not the other way around. Uh-huh. The jocks weren't human billboards.
Right.
And he says what it's going to take. Look, management doesn't want to take any chances. They want to be able to control what the guys say on the air. They want to make a potential advertiser angry. They want to piss off, listeners that may write an angry. They don't want to do any of that. But what they're doing is they're chasing away everybody else.
Well, I understand.
And what it's going to take for somebody to say, wait a minute, let me put a bunch of people on the air that can entertain, that are willing to spend a couple of hours writing jokes, doing research for material they're going to use on the air. Put them on the air, and if they say something bad on the air, if they make a mistake, well, that's part of show business, man. I mean, not every line gets delivered properly on stage. Right. And if a listener calls in or if a client cancels, screw them. That was the attitude when I worked in that station in Buffalo. You don't like what we're doing, choose another radio station,
there
but you won't
is.
Find one better. And if you don't want to spend your money, if you get pissed off with what we're doing with these spots, take them to another station. You won't get the bounce that you get when you're advertising here.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's going to take somebody to have the brains and the courage and the testicles to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get in back of it.
Right.
And then it's going to work. And then all the sheep, all the guys making the seven figures, are going to say, well, geez, they actually got listeners. Maybe we should try that. And they're going to still try to control it, and they're going to fail. And finally, after a couple of failings, and the numbers keep going down, and people keep going away from radio, they're going to say, you know, we just got to keep our hands off. We're the general managers and the sales managers and the salesmen will all say, well, gee, we tried to be jocks and we were terrible, so we put people on and we wouldn't let them be good because they wind up getting all the girls and they'd wind up making all the money and getting all the acclaim.
Right.
But we're going to have to let them do it if we want to make our millions.
Right.
We're going to let them make a few thousand so we can make a few million.
Yeah, sales,
and that's what's going to happen.
Sales always believes to be the blood of the studios.
We're the product.
Yeah.
Try selling nothing, Jack.
I know, that's for sure. You know. But, you know, radio
open an empty store and see how much money you got.
I know, exactly. Now, but, you know, we've seen, like, the things that, like, personally, there are stations out there that, the one name, station out there that has no jocks. It just has a guy saying, Monday.
Jack
things.
FM.
Absolutely, Jack FM. They're like, you know, to me,
think of the number of radio jobs that one man, God bless him, has
eliminated.
Has eliminated.
Yeah, that's
for people who don't know, whether you're listening in Los Angeles or any other big market, there's probably a Jack station in
there's
your
a Jill
city.
FM.
And Jill, and there's Bob, and there's Hank for country.
Yep.
You know, and that one person on Jack FM has replaced probably hundreds of jocks. He's replaced. And the station has no, I'm sorry, you can't record comedy. It's got to be done live.
Right.
You know, to play off the moment.
You know, and I think it appeals to a certain audience, but not to everybody, you know. And the thing is like, with me, what I believe in is now that we really are expanding with, like, Sirius Radio, people have to, understand that they can get jobs in Sirius Radio, too, in that kind of, pay radio,
Right.
And the
hopefully
fact
now
that,
that is making money, Sirius is going to start to pay
absolutely.
Better.
Absolutely. And the thing is what I see coming as well, which I thought that would be here already, are car stereos that do internet.
It's coming. GM or Ford has one of those.
If that happens, that's going to break open everything.
Yeah.
You know, we just need to have the advertisers not go for a free ride on us, and and actually pay the talent. But at that point, the accessibility of any radio station is going to be global.
Well, yeah, but the unfortunate thing with that is that at that point, it's going to be the same thing as television, in that you've got 500 signals now on TV, and the audience
and
is
nothing's
so
on.
And the audience is so diffused, nobody has any budget to pay anybody because you don't have a big enough. Nobody has a big enough share to pay talent.
But
and you're going to have, instead of 500 TV stations, you're going to have thousands and thousands of radio stations.
Right.
It's going to be impossible for anybody to get any of the big big shares. And so what's unfortunately going to happen is if somebody comes along with a good idea, CBS, mm-hmm. you know, or Clear Channel is going to buy them up, take their idea, prepackage it, take all the life out of it, and kill it before it grows or stop the growth of it.
Yeah, know, and that happens in every industry.
It happens in every industry.
In every industry.
And it's traditionally happened in the show business, in the entertainment
industry.
Absolutely.
But, you know, again, radio is a calling.
Right.
You know, it is something that someone must do within
right.
themselves when they're doing it. That's why they take all the abuse, and we really do. Radio people take a lot of abuse.
More now than ever.
More now than ever. But you really have to understand that if this is your calling, to pursue it, because there are going to be people on radio. People
right.
that are good enough to be in radio
right.
are going to be in radio. People that hang in there for radio are going to be in radio. When everyone else thinks it's a good idea to fall away from radio, be there for the gigs that exist. Because
right.
there are gigs that exist. We're seeing people getting in radio stations right now. And I myself worked at a radio station as well, too. You know, and there's, you know, the fact that you have to really give yourself, like a chef would give himself to the kitchen, you know, is the degree of commitment that you need to
That's
do
right.
this or whole thing. Now, you could still be a student of RTV 155. You could be a culinary student and have a radio show about you know, food. You
right.
know, about
That's
recipes
right.
and stuff like that. You could be,
that,
you know,
which is
one
the beauty
of the art,
WPMD.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You could be an art student and talk about whatever events are coming up. You could still use this station to whatever, you know, to fortify exactly whatever, you know, major you're going for over here, you know.
Right.
So there is a lot of good, you know, for people that are serious about going into radio, and then people that could actually use this to extend the multimedia capability of grasping more people with whatever field they're in.
That's right.
You know? So WPMD, in my eyes, and this is an opinion, of course, you know, serves a great purpose, and I believe it's more dormant than it should be. You know,
mm-hmm.
with the people
yeah.
here. I mean, because it's a focus group that loves WPMD. It's people that are in WPMD, but it can offer a voice to everybody, which is the voice of Cerritos College. We need to stress that out. You know
right.
that it is you know, the living, breathing, talking, you know, place where people can come and be free Americans.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
to practice the freedoms that we've been giving, where all these yellow ribbons been hanging around over there. You know, these guys, you know, and all the arguments that people are fighting for our rights. Well, these are the rights they're fighting for. For
right.
us to be able to go ahead and speak our minds and say what we want without having some kind of Gestapo-like thing coming in and shutting us down, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's the beauty of WPMD and the majesty of it all, you know.
Yeah.
And besides, you know, the error of the industry, there's something noble about wanting to come here and giving the truth to the people.
Right.
You know, and that's what Campus News Hour is all about. You know, we really want to bring the issues of what's happening on this campus and, the topics that are happening within this week, within these moments, within these breathing hours, you know, and to bring them to the students from the students. And I think it's a really good effort, and I hope this continues. And I think WPMD is a very fertile ground for any good idea to blossom when it comes to radio.
My experience is in talking to people and trying to get my own show, the one that airs here, the Beatles Show, on other stations, which I've done, is that radio is going to continue to flourish in small markets.
Yeah.
In big
right.
markets like this, you wonder, you know, it's probably going to be more prepackaged and more network-oriented, you know, because you can't talk about people in, you know, a Sylmar could give a damn as what's happening in Mission Viejo. The area is just too spread out.
Mm-hmm.
But in a smaller community, I mean, I listen to small communities. My show is on in a number of small markets, and they make money selling high school football games and stuff like this, and they have Tradio and local news and stuff like this, and people have nowhere else to turn in small markets to get that stuff.
Right.
So they're going to go to radio. So radio is always going to survive, and we're a microcosm of that right here, or should be, and we're becoming that with shows like this one.
Absolutely. And pretty much, I mean, I have nothing but a love for this. Now, do you have a vision of what you need from students? You know, not what you like, but what students need to be, how you know, what their level of aggressiveness to create a show is, what students need to be to make themselves and this station greater?
Well, you know, in all honesty, Tito, not to toot your horn, but I'm going to do it on the air. You know, you've been more responsible than a lot of staff people here over the years to really imbue people with the passion and the interest in selling this radio station on this campus to other students more than anybody else has done, and I mean that sincerely.
I cannot thank you.
Well, no. That's I'm speaking the truth. I'm not here to lie. They've got to want to do it to begin with.
Right.
They've got to have that, and then they've got to be sold on it, and we've got to be accessible to them, which we are. For the benefit of the program and for the consistency of the air sound of the radio station, we can't let anybody who walks in the door get on the air. We used to do that, and the station suffered because of it.
Absolutely.
Right. But if you want to take the 155 class, or the 152 class, I should say, and work in that and come on the air, then we'd love to have you. And once you're here, you're grandfathered in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you think you'd like to do radio, we can teach you enough and hopefully make you love it enough, if you don't already, to really get involved and devote yourself to what goes on here. Because a lot of people have. And again, as people move out into the industry or have to take full-time jobs, some of them stay tethered to the radio station and keep doing shows because they love it and because they're good at it.
Right.
And they offer stuff on this radio station that you can't get on any other radio station. And others come in to replace them. And, you know, our board is pretty full now. We've got a lot of people on the air. I mean, we're live a lot of the time. And even when we're not, we've got one of the most unique backup formats that anybody's going to find anywhere. A mix of music, all of them Hall of Famers, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And some other features within that that, you know, I think really make this show, this station, very listenable whenever you turn it on, you know. For its variety of programming. Nobody offers what we offer. Nobody offers what we offer.
Not at
Nobody.
All. And, you know, getting back to the effectivity of radio, of live radio, we've had a very big loss in the music industry today.
Right.
I mean, a huge one. I mean, Mr. Don Cornelius. I mean, he should be Don Corleone Cornelius, really, because he really was...
Godfather of soul.
The godfather of bringing everybody together to this music
that
made the world cooler.
Yeah.
You know, if there were aliens looking at us, they were going to say, look at that show. This planet is really cool. You know, they made the kids from all of the regions across the pond, from Europe, from the Slavic regions to all these, you know, to the red countries that weren't allowing things. They would get through to that, and the kids would want to know how to dance that way, you know?
Yeah. Just growing up watching American Bandstand as a white kid, we didn't see any black kids on American Bandstand growing up. And Soul Train was the...
introduction of it all.
That's right.
And the dancing was cooler, wasn't it?
Yeah, sure was.
Oh, by far, man. Now, I just want one memory, if you can muster one up, of Mr. Don Cornelius or the Soul Train.
I wasn't a regular viewer of it, because by the time it was on the air, I was in my 20s and 30s.
Right.
So they weren't playing to my demographic anymore. But just in terms of the I think he did an awful lot to mainstream black music, even though by that time, you know, we had Motown and other music like that, but for the mainstream, that and put it on television, you know, so it could be seen by everybody. And he did a lot to lessen the differences between the races through the arts, which is the way it often happens.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, I remember the first time the first white person, right, performer he had on Soul Train was David Bowie.
Really?
Yeah, and that was in the 70s, and it was incredible. He did Fame on the stage, right?
Makes sense.
And I remember, you know, that was one of the most boldest things that he could have done to bring everyone together, because not everyone was dancing when Bowie was on. You know, there was a lot of, like, you know, the what was going on at the time was a lot of, you know, us and them bitterness going on. You know what I mean?
Right.
But towards the end of the song, everyone was grooving. You know, at the beginning of this,
awesome.
it really, really said a lot about the power and what this man, what he did for people. You know, I mean, that broke a lot of boundaries right there. You know, I mean, and you know, the fact that, you know, he invited Bowie to come on, and, you know, Bowie, you know, you could tell, you know, he fought through a lot of what was going on. And then at the end, everyone was dancing together. It was just an awesome thing.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, that's a great cultural statement.
Absolutely.
Political statement.
Yeah. You know, and it started out in Chicago, Soul Train. It wound up here in Los Angeles. I'll never forget the dancers. They were just so beautiful, especially the Asian girl with the long hair.
Oh my God.
You know, I'll never forget. But, yeah, just, you know, hats off to Mr. Cornelius. I hope he found the piece he was looking for. Yeah.
So do I.
You know, I really do, you know. And, you know, again, that's what radio can do. You know, that's what we just did is an example of the viability of radio is. Something that just happened today. We're not waiting for anything. We can talk about it, and it's going out right now. You know, this is what everyone else is talking about right now that loves music, that knows what happened in the 70s with the Soul Train. Radio. It's, you know, when there are earthquakes hit and everything like that, people go to radio.
Yeah.
When, you know, radio
that's right.
puts
that's,
it out
That's
first.
Why it's going to survive.
Radio, like, you know, in Haiti, for some reason, their radio station survived out there, and the military was giving, our military was giving out wind-up powered radios because that's the only way to get the information out, and they were working with the radio station. It was the most important thing out there to show who was, people were making announcements on who was alive, who wasn't. Mm-hmm. Everything was happening through radio. It's an instantaneous and medium that affects millions of people at one time.
Right.
So I think there are going to be improvements on radio. There's going to be something else going on in radio, but there's never going to be no need for radio.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. God willing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want to thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you so much, Casey.
I would like to ask you, and, you know, if there's anything you want to tell the students, if there's any kind of encouragement you'd like to give them.
If you listen to WPMD, spread the word, certainly. Let the administration know how much you enjoy the radio station, how much you want the college to continue to support the radio station financially in other ways, and how well you think, hopefully, we serve you, both with the music and the programming and the people we have on the air and the information you get on shows like Talon Mark's NewsHour.
Bravo.
And do it again and again and again. You can't sell this, and you can't spread the word strongly enough.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Casey.
Thank you both.
Casey Petrosky here from WPMD. This is the man to go to whenever you have any questions about the station. We encourage everybody to look into the journalism and the broadcast departments. They totally go with each other, and they complement each other well. This is WPMD. You are listening to Telemark's Campus News Hour. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Women's sports witnessed both a win and a loss, with the women's basketball team walking from the court victorious and the women's softball team licking their wounds and considering what strategy will bring a win at their next game. Staff writer interviews both teams in this Campus News Hour sports doubleheader.
In women's softball, Cerritos lost against Mount SAC 8-1 on January 28th. It was the first of two games being played by the Falcons. Mount SAC had 15 hits, while Cerritos managed to get 5 hits. The Falcons only managed 1 run in the bottom of the 6th inning. Cerritos managed to only get 1 run in the bottom of the 6th inning. Head coach Cody Murray said,
"Well, it's our third game of the season, and I think that we're learning how to play. We're learning how to play as a team, and I think as we get that down, we'll get better and better. And we've got a lot of talent out here, but it's going to take us a while to get moving in a direction that is consistent."
Catcher number 5, Julia Mendoza, gives her thoughts on her team's performance.
"We played pretty good, but we just needed to come out more aggressive on offense, and defense-wise, we were pretty good."
Shelby Blair, number 24, right fielder, said,
"I think we played well, but there's always room for improvement, and I think we just need to come up in more situations. It was like any other game. We just didn't come up in the right moments. Like I said, we just need to hit the ball when it counts and just minimize the errors."
The winning pitcher for Mount SAC was Destiny DeValos, and the losing pitcher for Cerritos was Lily Cornejo. The Falcons' upcoming game will be against Grossmount on January 31, 3 p.m. In women's basketball, the Falcons held L.A. Trade Tech to 9-22 from the field in the first half and 9-35 in the second half. Cerritos made 14 out of 20 free throws from the entire game. Cerritos basketball team got a 91-47 win against LA Trade Tech on January 28. Cerritos had 20-point lead through the both halves against Trade Tech. The highest scorer for Cerritos was Regina English, who scored 17 points. Coach Karen Williver talked about their game.
"I thought the kids really rebounded well. I thought that we saw the open player, and I thought we were really unselfish and made a lot of good passes to each other."
LA Trade Tech scored throughout the game 7 of 17 three-pointers compared to the Falcons 7 out of 31 from the three-point line. Shooting guard Andrina Rendon commented in areas where the Falcons need improvement.
"I think we did really good as a team. You know, we found each other on offense. We were helping each other, and we all played together. So we did really good. Maybe just boxing out, really. I mean, we do a good job, but I mean, I guess it could be better. And our turnovers, we need to learn how to take care of the ball as well."
The Falcons' next game will be away against Pasadena City, February 1, 5 p.m. For Talon Marks Campus News Hour, I'm Luis Guzman reporting.
Some Cerritos College students are missing out on financial help through scholarships because of lack of information on how to acquire such awards. With the help of the scholarship workshop here on campus, There is more financial hope for those who are willing to put in the extra time to learn how to cash in on this free money.
The Financial Aid Department will be holding a workshop intended to teach students how to apply for scholarships on February 2nd from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. in room SS-139. Financial Aid Technician Veronica Castro talked about what happens during the workshop.
So if a student is awarded a check from an outside donor, it comes to me and I pretty much process it. But I have contact with the donors. Therefore, I've set up a PowerPoint presentation with what donors want to see on scholarships, kind of prepare the students what they're going to be asked for. Because every scholarship, there's a consistency in the scholarship as far as you need an autobiography, the application, autobiography, and recommendation letters. And that's normally what you need. I pretty much provide information you can package yourself well on these scholarship applications because they're viewing, you know, there's hundreds of students applying. So because I have contact with the donors, I kind of know what they're looking for. And I provide that information to the students to try to, like, a winning scholarship application.
The workshop covers what is needed to obtain a scholarship, as well as teaching how to request letters of recommendation, obtaining transcripts, financial statements, writing essays, etc. Castro explains the importance of the workshop and its overall goals for students.
That the student feels confident enough to apply for scholarships and do not get discouraged when the student is not awarded the scholarship. Meaning, a lot of the students will come back, like, I've applied for like 5 scholarships and they all denied me. Financial aid is guaranteed. So long as you meet household size and income, you're guaranteed the money. Scholarships, you're going through, you know, first of all, you're searching for the scholarship. You're making sure that you meet all the criteria. You're writing a whole essay about yourself. You're getting people to write about you. It's a lot of work. And then you turn it in and you're denied the scholarship. So the hard work pretty much is like, it's not going anywhere. So what I want the students to know is don't get discouraged. You know, there is, it's competitive applying for scholarships, but you have your students that are awarded scholarships, like $2,500 from Avon. You know, you find them. So it's just to keep that motivation going for them. That's my goal. To when they walk out, that it's okay not to get a scholarship, but you're able to keep this packet and use it again for this one and use it again. So, you know, you start putting this portfolio together where you can start using it. And also to start saving money for Cal States and UCs. It gets more expensive. And so scholarships can be looked at as like a savings account, because once you're awarded the scholarship, you can put that aside. You don't have to go out and waste it. So those are my goals with the workshop.
All the student body and those not attending Cerritos College are invited to learn crucial financial information.
I even invite people that are not even attending Cerritos College. So, no, it's just whoever wants to come. We advertise, you know, on the Daily Falcon, flyers. I tell my students when they call me and ask questions, like, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, I have a lot of students that will say, is there any scholarships right now? And I'll let them know what's going on right now, but I'll also say, hey, there's a scholarship workshop going on. So, no, there really isn't.
So it's open to everyone?
It's open to everyone.
Reporting for staff writer Luis Guzman, I'm online editor Patrick Dolly, reporting for TalentMark's Campus NewsHour.
This week's Campus NewsHour Music Review features Ringo Starr's newest project, best known for being the drummer of the greatest band of all time, The Beatles. Starr is now focused on making music for fun for his fans. Staff writer Rosie Montes gives her evaluation of this former Mob Top's newest effort.
Hello, hello, fellow Falcons. I am Rosaura Montes, and this is Talon Mark's Campus NewsHour album review, featuring Ringo Starr's Ringo 2012. Ringo 2012, the 17th studio album by Ringo Starr, was released yesterday on January 31st. There is a lot of experimental music in this album that makes Starr express himself as more than just a drummer of the Beatles. Starr sings vocals, plays drums, and keyboards in this album that is infused with funk and rock and roll that includes a sexy Latin-inspired track titled Samba. Buddy Holly's Think It Over is covered by Starr that has a different approach to the rock and roll song. The song sounds as if it would be part of background music of Mario Sunshine. The album is only 28 minutes long, with plenty to offer in such a short amount of time. For Talon Mark's Campus News Hour, I'm Rosaura Montes, Arts Editor, reporting.
The very serious issue of students being allowed on campus with concealed weapons for the sake of protecting themselves has been brought to the grounds of Cerritos College. Staff writer Rodrigo Nunez asked students and administrations their feelings on this issue.
Students for Concealed Carry on Campus is a national nonpartisan organization composed of more than 43,000 college students, professors, college employees, parents of college students, and concerned citizens. It believes that holders of state-issued concealed handgun licenses should be allowed the same measure of personal protection on college campuses that current laws afford them virtually everywhere else. This movement is controversial as students reject the idea. Melissa Brown, undecided major, states,
"No, I don't think so because, I mean, it's like you're going to school, so I don't think you should worry. I mean, especially, I don't know, it's college, so people are older, you know, mature. Like, I don't think that you would need to have to bring it because, I mean, like, you're in a kind of safe environment, I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't think that it's necessary because, like, why would you need to? Like, it's, I don't think it's a purpose. I mean, you know, if somebody's trying to attack you, yeah, fight with your hands or, you know, do whatever you can, scream. There's other ways, but I don't think that you should have to be always with a gun, you know. You never know what if it, like, falls or it's loaded and then it, like, kills somebody, you know, accidentally. You know, like, stuff like that, like, can happen and make even more of a problem, I think."
Janice Kim, chemistry major, said, quote, "That would be like promoting violence. If anything, they shouldn't be promoting more guns. What they should be doing is promoting more security for the school," unquote. The efforts of the Students for Concealed Carry on Campus, or SCCC, focuses on the protection of students who may become victims of similar high-profile incidents, such as the one at Virginia Tech University. They want to ensure that students, as well as college staff members, are well prepared for similar attacks. Dr. Stephen Johnson, Vice President of Student Services, explained that in cases of such incidents, including both natural disasters and terrorist attacks, they have prepared the proper precautions to protect both students and staff. These precautions include the campus police and evacuation areas. This movement cannot take place due to the police policies each state holds on colleges. Dr. Stephen Johnson, Vice President of Student Services, said,
"The college has board policy and administrative procedure about weapons on campus. And they are not particular alone to concealed weapons. They are about weapons on campus, period. And they don't include only firearms. There are strict prohibitions on having weapons on campus. Now, there are some exceptions for that. For an example, a particular exception that, of course, is supported by police associations, police chief associations, and what have you, has to do with concealed weapons that law enforcement officers are authorized to carry. Okay, so that is an exception, that these are individuals who, as part of their job requirements, do carry weapons, and they are, you know, specifically trained in the use of those weapons, and so it is possible that somebody could be authorized to be carrying a weapon, but only under circumstances like that."
He explains that under the Gun-Free School Zone Act of 1995, all individuals are held responsible for carrying any weapon prohibited by this act. The California Penal Code, Sections 626.9 and 626.10, prohibit any person from possession of any firearm in a school zone as defined under Section B of 626.9. Any person violating these sections shall be punished by imprisonment pursuant to Subdivision H of Section 1170 for 2, 3, or 5 years. Dr. Johnson urges it for all students to save the campus police number in their cell phones. He recommends that every student should contact this number for quick authority dispatch while on campus. The campus police number is 562-402-3674. Reminder that this is an emergency call only. This number shall be used only in case of emergency. Violators of this policy will be charged as dialing a 911 on phony purposes. The SCCC efforts will not change anything unless the individual state changes its policy on colleges so that firearms are allowed in these areas. For Talon Marks Campus News Hour, I am Rodrigo Nunez reporting.
This has been the third installment of Talon Marks Campus News Hour for the spring semester of 2012 here on WPMD.org on the net. We thank you for listening and would like to remind you to pick up the last printed edition of Talon Marks at news racks located throughout the campus.
We would also like to invite you to log on to talonmarks.com for the latest and breaking news here at Cerritos College. On behalf of the entire Talon Marks news staff, I'm Campus News Hour Director Tito Benavides.
And I'm Managing and Multimedia Editor Lucia Sarabia.
Have a great day, Falcons!